Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 233. It is Monday, February 3rd, 2020. Yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Boop Show. I'm Scott. That's Brian Dunaway. Hello, Brian Dunaway. How you doing?
Oh, hi, Scott.
Nice to see you. You doing all right?
Good
you have
to
a good
see
day?
You too, friend.
Yeah, yeah.
I have had a most day. Just not excellent, not bad, just day.
Just kind of right there in the middle. All right. We had so much snow that now my son is out shoveling about 3 feet of snow. So that's good.
Oh, my gosh. Yep. It's like 70 degrees here in the south.
Oh, my gosh. You guys don't even know how good you got it. Jeez Louise.
We really do know how good
but
we
I guess actually come talk to you in summer, and then you'll have a different story to tell, right?
That's right. Then I'm all like, man, it's hotter than a hand up Elmo's butt. I mean, it's...
Throwback.
Throwback pre-show.
Yeah. Anyway, hey, everybody, welcome back. We've had a week. We've done some video game playing, and we're here to talk about it. As we often are, so let's get started. Brian, I dipped my hand into Elmo. No, in a thing that it normally doesn't really drive me, but it did this week, so I gave it a shot. I played a whole bunch of Legends of Runeterra.
Runeterra.
Now, if you don't know what that is, have you heard? Actually,
I do not know what that is. Please explain Runeterra.
All right. So, you know about League of Legends, yeah? Heard of that?
I've played that, yes. I know what that is.
Okay.
I'm not good at it.
I'm also terrible at it, and I'm better than I used to be. But
right.
I'm not doing anything crazy in that
we
game.
We should group up one night and kill it.
You want to? I don't know that we'd kill it. We might kill our careers as creators and podcasters, but I don't know about killing it in any other way. But, so, all right, Riot Games is famous for making that game, and League of Legends has kind of been their only game for like almost a decade. And so a lot of people are like, well, when is Riot going to branch out and do some new things? And if you remember, not too many, maybe it's a couple of months ago, they got out in an event and showed off a bunch of upcoming projects that were not League of Legends, some of them set in the League of Legends universe, but they also showed a shooter that looked a little bit like if Counter-Strike and Overwatch had a baby. That's kind of what that was.
As you do.
Yeah. And we don't know much about that game yet, but they showed that. They showed some kind of dungeon-crawling-looking Diablo business kind of looking game. I forgot what that was called or what the deal was there. They talked about other stuff, but the one that really stuck out to me was their Hearthstone competitor.
Oh, Hearthstone, a card type game.
Yeah, a CCG.
Battle cards.
Sure. Collectible card game is the typical nomenclature for this type of game. And it is definitely a shot over the Hearthstone bow in terms of what it's aiming for. I'll try a lot of these card games. I just like to see what everybody's up to, right? Especially in the shadow of Hearthstone. What did Hearthstone do to competitive card playing? It made it so these card games needed to look better, play better. Mm-hmm. You know, the animation
be
should
actually
pop.
Humorous.
Yes, be funny, endearing, all that stuff. Bring something to the table, quote unquote, that you wouldn't get with a tabletop. But also, you know, because video games can do things special. So, you know, what are you going to do? And so I always like to check them out. I played Eternal. I played the Elder Scrolls one, which I guess just got announced they're ending that. They're not going to do that anymore.
Did you play Arena, Magic the Gathering?
I played that this week as well, for the first time, actually, because, again,
oh, really?
I got in this mood of like, all right, well, let's see what are the hot things right now, right? And
hot card games, battle cards.
Magic the Gathering Arena is pretty freaking good.
It's pretty freaking amazing, yeah, and well balanced, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it also is not nearly as new player put offy as people were afraid of. I think it actually.
Oh yeah, not at all. You can get in and easy. you can win some rounds.
Yeah, and you get how it works, and the mechanics are mm-hmm. explained in such a way, and also things happen visually in a way that is very intuitive. It's a good game. So I was very curious to see how this open beta would proceed with Legends of Runeterra. I don't really know the characters from League of Legends, so all these guys showing up going, I'm here to save the realm and all this bullshit, they just kind of make me go, okay, well, I don't know you. You look like Arthas, kind of. You're probably ripped off from him, so good luck, you know, whatever. The actual gameplay, though, is really good.
Oh, interesting.
Like, really good. Like, to the point
I'm trying to see what else stands out about it, because, you know, we had the two lanes in... What game was it with the lanes?
Oh, three lanes in Dota's, what was the Dota one?
Yeah,
what was it called? Artifact.
Right.
Nobody was happy with. Artifact was a bummer, it turns out.
Right.
Let me get to an actual game here where they're playing for real.
For reals, though. I like the, so I see two numbers on each of these cards.
Okay, so here's how it works.
Quite prominently displayed.
Yeah, big shocker. The yellow number is your power or your attack damage.
Right.
And the other big shocker is the red is your life points. So every card's got that. If you played Hearthstone, you know what I'm talking about. Or Magic or anything else for that matter.
Anything.
Yeah, they all do it. This is a little bit different in that you don't have a hero you're trying to destroy. You're trying to take down all the hit points of their nexus, their little crystal thing, which is a lot like what they... Yeah, it's what they have in the MOBA,
that
basically.
Makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
So when you battle, though, Hearthstone's a little bit more direct. It's like, drag it up, place it. If it doesn't have charge, you wait until the next round, and then it can attack anything it wants to. Or if somebody has a block... then you have to attack it. But, you know, you can just take it and go for it. This is a little bit different. It kind of has a lane system a little bit. Those three slots there. Well, there's more than that even. You can put more cards out there and do more than three. But you kind of create a direct attack on the thing that's in front of it. So if you're going to – and there's a turn to block it. So I'll put down a thing for my attack. You can only attack every other round. So the attack token will flip to player two. After you've had your run and that round, they can choose not to attack during the round. They can totally pass if they want to, but it's treated a little bit more like a passing of a baton, kind of like when can you attack and when can't you attack. Without getting too much into all the little nitty gritty details, some of the obvious stuff: the cards themselves have lots of different abilities. Some cards are just straight up, hey, this has a 4/6, and that's it. That's all that's the entire card. Some will have keywords and things like this one's got overwhelm, which means if it attacks a minion and succeeds in beating the minion, it will also continue on with whatever it's left of its attack points.
Right.
Let's say two left out of six, and it will attack the nexus with that and spend it there.
Yeah.
Again, a common mechanic in other games. They really made something cool here, though. There's just from a casual perspective. It's very pop graphically. It has tons of pop, lots of animation, lots of great sound effects, lots of voice work, like all that stuff, is there.
Right.
It's very good that way. I think I just like the change of pace. It's just a different approach to one of these games and how you kind of,
it looks a lot more simplified. It looks like, it even like the mana it accrues each round. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So it looks like, it just looks very simple. I mean, it's not like a knock against it. It just means it's
simple to get into. Yeah.
Yeah. Real quick, easy point of entry, knock yourself out. Does it ever get complicated where you can like use some serious strategy is it just kind of?
No, there is some intense meta level freaking combos and strats and tactics and all of that stuff is there. It would have to have, or else this sort of stuff will never go anywhere.
Right.
That's all there. I've been worked pretty hard by some people. Here's the big difference, though, or the thing that I'm liking about it over, say, something like Hearthstone in this, in a head-to-head mode like this. I enjoy the process of playing this more than I do Hearthstone. And I don't exactly know why. I think it is this choice of, am I going to attack this turn or not? Am I going to block? Maybe. Maybe I could block if I want to. In Hearthstone, you don't have that option. I mean, you do if you put a dude up with taunt and then you have to attack, your opponent has to attack the taunt character. He can't attack other ones. So that strategy is there, but it's in a very different way. You're sort of locked into that. And this thing, it's like, all right, he's attacking me with three dudes. Do I want to block any of this? And the truth is, well, I may want to block two of them because they're heavy damage, but the third one, maybe not, because maybe it's only one hit. It's only one point of damage. So I'll just let him, I'll take the hit without losing another card. So there's a lot of that stuff. And I like that because it feels like I'm having to make a decision that isn't just, it's hard to explain. I don't know how to explain it. It's it's more like Magic that way, because Magic's a bit like this, except you have the mana thing.
Magic can get quite in depth.
Yeah, it can get pretty crazy.
Strategies,
I really like it, though, and I'm going to keep playing it, and I hope people will try it.
Are you playing this on PC?
PC. It's coming to everything. If this is still open beta period, and I have it
open
on some
beta.
Had somebody who may or may not know, I don't know if they really know, but somebody had told me that potentially the mobile versions are coming sooner than people think. So pretty quick, it sounds like. And you know, if you're out there and you're fatigued, you're like, man, I'm sick of these games. I don't want to play any more competitive card games. I've had it. I've got all my fill or whatever. This changed my mind from being a bit like that. I was feeling that way. And this has me pretty jazzed. Now we're early, right? The meta's not locked in. I seem to be unlocking cards all the time really quickly. So it seems really generous right now with the unlocks, but that may change the further you get down the road. And I don't know how hard it will be to get the cards you want, when you want them, that kind of stuff. You know, those kind of limitations are still there. It's still a CCG. They still have a model to make money, but they also are going to sell like backgrounds and skins and stuff to just do a lot of cosmetics, which they've had great success with.
I like that. Can you buy like the boards or anything in other games?
No, depends on the game. Some games, yes. Hearthstone, no. Hearthstone is themed based on I don't know if it's themed on who you're fighting, but Hearthstone.
I would be interested in doing something like that. Now, I will buy cards occasionally, but I like to earn my cards as I go along, because otherwise I just get greedy. And I'm like, spin.
Yeah. That's kind of me too. So I actually would prefer it if I could buy cosmetic stuff.
But I don't mind buying. I'm kind of backwards like that, I think. I don't mind buying cosmetic stuff. I don't mind buying that kind of stuff.
I don't either, because it doesn't have anything to do with paying to win. It's just like, oh, I want to look cool, or I want a better card back, or I want my board. I mean, like right now, I don't think you can buy these extra boards. I think that's coming.
Right.
But that
board's pretty boring.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it gets the job done, but there's...
Yeah. I mean, it does.
There's plenty more coming. This one's just based on Summoner's Rift, which is their MOBA. I mean, it looks just like the MOBA or League of Legends board, basically. It's the same theme. You know, the trees and the river and the stuff.
It makes sense. It absolutely makes sense.
Yeah. I like it a lot, though. I think they've got some real flourish on this that is grabbing me. They also have an enormous fan base to advertise to. So I think the League of Legends people, anyone interested in this sort of game, are going to leap on this. And I'm happy to say that it turned out really good. So park your bias and try it and see what you think.
I don't know a lot about League of Legends, but I have watched a few people play, and I'm always seeing people wait around a lot between their big sessions or whatever. So I'm curious if this would be like something that people will do while they wait.
Yeah. And
so is that what are they doing in those League of Legends things when I'm watching these people on Twitch? What are they doing? They're just standing around talking about when they're gonna play, and I'm like, why don't you just play now?
There is a lot of that, isn't there, on the streams? Just sort of standing around going, I don't know when I'm gonna play.
Is
it okay though? Or should we mock them? Maybe we should mock them.
We should mock them. Absolutely. I mean, if there's anyone who's ever deserved being mocked, it's League of Legends, right, Kyle Ferguson?
Hey,
so that's what I would do.
Hey. Kyle is, you know what I love about Kyle?
Kyle's the man when it comes to League of Legends.
He's good at everything. But the thing I like the most about Kyle is if he doesn't like another thing, you'd never know it, because he's the most like positive Zen monster in the history of the world.
Absolutely.
Just zenning out, looks at you. And so if you try to get him riled up and go, what do you think of this controversial thing that happened? He'll go, I believe that I'm in a special zone right now. Like, he's just fine. He doesn't need it. Anyway, Legends of Runeterra. It's a terrible name, in my opinion. Awful, dumb name. Too long to say.
Yeah.
People will just call it Rune or Runeterra, and that's fine. But I think the game is very good, and I'm I say this as someone who's not great at these. I'm okay at them. I prefer deck builders over deck collectors. All of that being said, this is singing a pretty good tune. I like it. So there you go. Brian, tell me about, I love this one that you're playing. Children of Morta. I have this on PC. Tell me about your impressions.
Oh, I am playing the Children of Morta on the Xbox Game Pass. Just popped up this past week. I really didn't have much interest in it before I saw this. You know, I saw some screenshots and things, and it looked pretty, but it didn't really tickle my fancy, if you will. But free on Game Pass. Well, I'm already paying for it. So I've already paid for it on Game Pass. So I did. So hey, Scott, it's dangerous to go alone. So take this shield and sword and hugs and from your kids and kisses from your wife and head out for an RPG adventure. How does that sound to you, Scott?
That sounds pretty good. I like this game. Yeah. It's got a cool.
I love this game.
Cool
this
everything.
This is one of my favorite new games. I don't know how I'm going to stop. So you're playing as one of the family members of the Bergson family who are the children of Morta. I am assuming from the what I've learned so far, by the way, disclosure here, I like to tell everybody how long I've played the game so far so you have an idea if this is a first impression. Yes, it's a first impression. I've played 4 hours so far and maybe like 4.5 hours so far. And there's about 13 hours of casual gameplay, according to howlongtobeat.com. So I've got a little taste, but I'm certainly not all the way there. I've only unlocked two family members. I've unlocked John, and I've unlocked Linda, the daughter of John.
Yeah.
Now, the Bergson family, they live in this beautiful 16-bit pixel-looking house.
Yeah, mansion. Huge mansion. Yeah.
It is gorgeous. I love how this looks, and I love the animation. I love how these characters move. I love how they talk. I love how it's narrated. I love the story progression, and it is a masterclass on how to tell a good story, in my opinion.
I agree. It's very good.
And it is because what you're doing is it's a roguelite, right? Because you're like progressing, and you're doing a lot of like dungeon crawling almost. You're going against a bunch of bad guys. It's a bunch of demons. You're going against what they call the corruption. And it's the corruption starts out of this like ooey goos kind of thing. And they start out at slugs and is slowly infesting the land of Rhea. Right?
Yeah.
Now you'll notice I'm using all the names of the places, and I've only played it 4 hours. You know what that tells me? This story is really good, because when you tell me a sci-fi or a fantasy story, if you try to do too much world building too fast, I'll get lost.
Yeah.
They don't do that here. They start you at a base, and that base is family, right?
Yeah.
And they start you at a bunch of tropey stuff, but not so tropey that you roll your eyes, right?
Yeah.
It all seems
legit to me. There feels like it's being written from a good place, you know? Like they know what they're doing. Yep.
Exactly. It's being written from a good place, and it's introducing the characters slowly to me. I appreciate that, because I've got enough game mechanics to try to handle to worry about your story. Because sometimes I'll skip through story because I'm trying to figure out how to play a game. And so I get kind of frustrated with that, and I have to go back and learn the story and everything. This one does a really good job of unfurling it as you go along.
Did you not unlock the son that has the two double, or not the son, the little brother that has the two daggers or whatever?
I didn't know. You mean Kratos Jr.? No, I didn't. I didn't get to him yet. I didn't get to him, but I've seen his story. Yeah. He's coming up. He is way cool. So Uncle Ben, not related. No relation to Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
Peter Parker.
All right. Thought you meant to
you. Uncle Ben, who is kind of like, he like hangs out at the house and he like upgrades all your stuff. So if you're out there and you're out there in the dungeon and you're fighting and you're progressing, upgrading your guy, you know, getting the skill points, and you're collecting Morv, which is gold. Another word for gold, I guess, right?
Yep, more Morv.
Gold Lumpets.
Yep.
Right, Morv. I need some Morv. Yep. I got to have Morv.
More Morv.
You take that back to Uncle Ben, and Uncle Ben does something that is fascinating, because this is one of the things I hate about games where you play multiple characters. You'll like skill level up one character, and then it's like, oh, you have to get to the next character. Skill level them up too. Well, there's some attributes that apply to the whole family. So when you get that more, if you get to come back and get to spend money on those enhancements. So the whole family gets stronger as you go out. So when you start with the next character, there's already a little bit of buff there.
Well, you have a combo of both, right? Because you have both character character progression points and skill ladders, and then you have this overall family one, which means everybody benefits from it. And it's good stuff like extra life or bonus damage.
Swiftness, sure. The things you'd really want. Mm-hmm. So this is a top-down, three-quarter view game, which I think is just, like I said, it is just beautiful in its simplicity.
Diablo as hell, this thing, the way you fight.
Oh, absolutely. Diablo as hell. And there's actually, even though it's pretty simple, some of the things they don't really tell you, you have to learn along the way. Like I learned that you can hold your shield up and you can swing, but it's a much narrower swing with your sword, as opposed to if you hold your sword down, it's a much wider swing. And there's little things you can learn along the way that kind of keeps improving your experience. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, there's a couple of different things you have to watch for. You've got stamina, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to watch that, because you only can roll away so often. And some of these matches are pretty brutal when you're coming across like a whole bunch of bad guys.
Yeah, but eventually, some of the things you unlock is now the sword carrying guy, which is the first guy that goes out.
John,
he can, he can dash twice, or can dash, or his dash doesn't takes less time to cool down or whatever. So there's a lot of that sort of thing. But then when you start unlocking like the arrow chick or the double blade boy or whatever, there's a magic person later. All of these people have different fighting styles, different abilities. Mm-hmm. The kid with the two knives, for example, can just roll almost infinitely. He doesn't hardly ever have stamina problems.
Typical.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's got way crazy stamina, right? So Children of Morta, I've played, like I said, I played about 4.5 hours. Half of that time was spent going solo, which you're watching now. You're watching me play. This is me fighting these the corruption slugs. Mm-hmm. They're coming at me. I'm like, yeah, get out of here. Mm-hmm. And then the other half was spent with my son Ethan. He came over and we cooped this thing. So you can play two players at the same time, two members of the Bergson family. You can play it couch co-op, or if you have this on Steam, which I do not yet, I am gonna.
I have it on
you
Steam.
You can do the what's it called?
Steamworks.
The it's not Let's Play. It's like a team play or something like that. What's it called?
Right. I forgot. It's the thing Valve has on Steam.
You know, Steam. They're terrible. Valve's terrible at names, but they've got like.
Remote, they are bad at names. You know that? They're terrible at names.
Play.
Look at that.
Right.
Oh, it's, remote play. Yeah, you can do that. Let me tell you something. Like, let me tell you something dumb about Steam names. The dumbest name that ever came up for anything is the Index, the freaking head, the VR headset. What kind of name for a VR thing is Index? Oculus, you think of eyeballs. Ocular, you know, it makes sense.
It makes sense.
You say Vive, it's like Vive. Yeah, the Vive. I feel the Vive. You know, it's a Vive. Viva the Vive or whatever. You say Index and you're like, well, are you looking in the glossary, or where is it you're trying? Like, come on. I love Valve.
So,
but man,
I can't get enough of this Children of Morta, and I'm probably going to be talking about it for the next couple of weeks. It won't take me that long, but it's 13 hours. I'm playing this on the Xbox One. I'm probably going to pick it. I thought I'd pick it up on the Switch Lite, but the characters are so small. It seemed like a perfect game for like laying in bed and just kind of grinding through. But it also seems like things would be kind of difficult to see.
It's a little tiny, but it's a solid version of it over there.
And so I'll probably end up getting this on the PC and finishing it up. 13 hours. I'll probably do more of a completionist. I do like when you get in these special areas where you unlock temporary upgrades to your characters, usually through that dungeon, particularly that dungeon that you're going through. You can do special things. I love raining down stuff. I love games that let me rain down the fire from the sky.
Oh, then you want to, you're going to want to keep going till you unlock the wizard person, because that's
I definitely got to unlock the wizard person. That is definitely my action. So I did look to see it. What's that?
That's going
to
be today's title. Unlock the wizard person.
Unlock the wizard person. So this game is developed by Dead Mage. I'm going to start trying to make sure that I mention the developer and the publisher in these, because these are indie games and I would like to see them get a little bit more credit. And I'll mention, voice actors and different things as I find them interesting. Of course, I don't remember who it was, but it was a great voice actor whoever did it. And it's also published by 11-Bit Studios. You may remember that from me playing just recently Frostpunk. I guess the reason why both of those are getting thrown up on the Xbox.
Yeah.
I guess 11-bit studios must have made a deal. And Moonlighter, which I've been wanting to play and
have not played yet. Very good game. All of those, by the way, also on Game Pass on PC. So if you want to play it there, you certainly
can. What I was wondering. Is Moonlighter? what's that?
Moonlighter is indeed on PC Game Pass.
It probably is. Yeah. It probably is. Totally it's probably is. On the Game Pass, too. Yeah. Yeah.
So you should play that next game. That should be the thing you do next. You should play that.
I was thinking about that, and I was trying to think. Didn't Scott talk about that? Because I tried to look through the show notes and do a quick search to make sure that
I did talk about it. I think I've talked about this one before. But
have you talked about Jordan Morta?
Yeah, but that's fine.
If you did, I was doing like this. Scott's stupid.
Who could blame you? I couldn't blame you for that. Dude, I wouldn't blame you at all.
But I like to mention things that are if you're like me and you're a gamer who's always looking for a deal. I think the best deal in gaming right now, it's got to be the Xbox Game Pass there, right? That's got to be one of the best deals.
It's the best deal in gaming, in my opinion. Oh, absolutely. Subscription wise, nothing comes close. It's very good.
Absolutely.
All right, I'm going to tell you now about.
Oh, you're going to tell me now? Are you?
I'm going to tell you now. About a game. What's this game called? Oh, yeah. This game is called Spell Sword Cards, colon.
Ooh, you are playing lots of card games.
Yeah, colon, Dungeon Top. So that's the full name. Spell Sword Cards, colon, Dungeon Top.
I like Spell Sword. That's a neat name.
Now, you're going to look at this on screen, chat, and you're going to say,
what
is this? I mean, it looks good. It looks fine. It's got nice art. Yeah, it's got whatever. Fine. All right, so here's what it is. There's a million of these happening lately, and I'm not surprised because Slay the Spire was a big hit, still a big hit. And a lot of games are like, ooh, we could take that mechanic and we could add to it. We could do these other things. So that's kind of what this is. It's a combination of deck building cards, but again, not like a collectible card game like Runeterra. This is more, you know, the deck is what it is, and you unlock cards that are there, and it's not like you have to open a pack and find them. It doesn't work that way. And I like deck builders a lot. Also, I like what Slay the Spire does. If you haven't played that, it's basically a roguelike game where you, using cards, battle your way through a random dungeon of creatures to try to get to the boss, get a whole bunch of extra stuff, go in better the next time, that sort of thing. Unlock characters, blah, blah, blah. That is exactly what this is trying to do, but in a slightly different way. You start out with the warrior. You can be other people later, but you got to earn enough gold to unlock them. It's not a thing you'd go buy a microtransaction for. You literally have to unlock it. Anyway, you go into this big overhead dungeon thing, and you move around in it. You can tell where there's like a creature to fight or where there's a package to open or a door that's locked or whatever. Oh. So you work your way around these dungeons, checking out stuff, find out where you need the keys, this sort of thing. And then when you fight you find a creature and you fight them, it switches to a kind of
fight me,
almost like a board game layout, like a grid of spaces. And now you're in this kind of positionally kind of chess like position. There's no chess. It's not like actual chess, but you can put your guy down and he has abilities like during one turn, he can move and attack once. Some people can move twice and attack once. Some people are ranged, so they don't need to move right next to somebody to attack. They can be two squares away and they can shoot an arrow or whatever.
Yeah,
Then you just start taking out these creatures and their minions. And each turn, when it's your turn, you can move your pieces around to be more strategic, add more cards to the bunch. You have spell cards to do weird stuff, ways to enhance your characters. Some characters can move and attack as soon as you lay them down. Others get laid down and can't move till their next turn. So some of those card rules are in place. It's very early access. I already think this is going to be one of my favorites of these. I think this is super good. It was only $15 or less than that on sale.
It's fun.
It is fun. It's definitely, if any of the things I mentioned or any of these combinations of ideas sound good to people, you may want to check this one out. It's super cheap. It's a small developer. I like what they're doing. And, you know, while they're wearing their inspirations on their sleeve, like artistically, it's a bit like, what's the one where the depths of this place will tear my soul asunder? I can't think of the name. The one where it's all depressing all the time. Dungeon.
Oh my gosh. What is it?
Shit.
Not Dungeon Keeper or something like that, right? Is it
my sanity leaks behind my brain? Not Dark Souls. It's the side-scrolling looking Darkest Dungeon. That's it.
Oh, Darkest Dungeon.
Yeah, the art style's kind of reminiscent of that, and in a good way. It's a little more colorful. Darkest Dungeon tends to be a little red and black, but it's a cool little game. You know, first glance at it, you might think, well, it's just avatars of heads moving around. And it is. But
you know, that's fine. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's animated well.
What is Candy Crush?
Really Crush is just a little piece of candy moving around. You're right.
Right. I mean, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, but this isn't like a puzzle. You know, you might look at it and go, it looks like a sliding puzzle. It's not one of those.
That's exactly what the board looks like. It's a 4x4 sliding puzzle-looking thing, but it's not.
It's more like chess. Your characters can only move a certain way and attack a certain way, and you're stuck right with those rules. So you try to, you know, protect your hero, use your minion card smartly, try to survive. I really like it.
Try to survive if you can. What's the name of it again?
It's a dumb name. It's Spellsword Cards : Dungeon Top.
Spellsword.
Yeah.
All I need to remember is Spellsword.
I think you need to remember Dungeon Top, because I think Spellsword might be more common than Dungeon Top.
Might be.
I could be wrong.
You might be right.
It's on Steam, though. Currently now.
Is it on Steam?
It sure is. It's in early access. They're balancing. That's where they're at right now.
Right. By the way, you mentioned the price, and that's the other thing I try to always mention when I talk about the games I'm reviewing. Of course, we said, you know, it's basically free if you get it on the Xbox for the Children of Morta. But if you're looking for a PC version, it usually ranges between $15 to $20. Mm. So we're hitting some of these indie games. But for 13 hours, that's about what you'd probably expect to pay, right?
I mean, yeah, I'd pay that. Not bad. I have paid that. I probably did pay that.
I think I did pay that.
All right, tell me about Seventh Sector, whatever the hell this is.
Oh, I'm going to tell you about whatever the hell this is. It's Seventh Sector. I got a review copy of this from the developer, Sometimes You. Thank you for that. And Sometimes I am a energy ball in this game that is essentially a side-scrolling puzzle game on rails, somewhat. So you start out, you might see this in the video now, you're in a CRT type TV, right? Those old tube TVs. So you're in one of those, and you have to break out into and kind of have to do this max headroom thing where you kind of flash out. Max headroom, what is that? I haven't heard that since the 80s. So you have to pop out into the wiring as an electricity ball. So you've been disembodied, apparently. Haven't revealed all the story yet. Here comes how long I've been playing. I played this game for about 2.5 hours. I didn't look how long to beat, but I'm sure it's not really long. And it's probably also going to be greatly varied based on your puzzle solving abilities.
All right.
The last thing I did, the last puzzle I did was kind of like, Pipe Mania? Is that what it was called?
Oh, where you fix the pipes? Yeah, pipes.
Yeah, you got to rotate the pipes and stuff. Yeah,
there was a version of that called Frisky Tom, and I've talked about it on the show before.
Oh, yeah, Frisky Tom.
Yeah,
yes.
Remember that? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So in Seventh Sector, you're this little ball of electricity, and you're traveling down these wires, and you're jumping between the wires using your electricity to to solve the problems that are presented before you. And the puzzles are challenging. I've liked this game. I'm going to go ahead and tell you I like this game. It was the puzzles were challenging enough, but not to a point of frustration. Because I can't stand when I get to it. I want to play in a game, and I like challenge, but I don't like game-stopping frustration.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Nobody likes that.
I don't like that.
It's the worst.
So this has just the right amount of when you solve a puzzle, you're like, oh, my God, I'm a genius. Mm. Even though you're really not.
Yeah.
It makes you feel good.
Sure.
But not so easy that you go, my kids should be playing this. When I say kid, I mean my 2-year-old, which I don't have. So Seventh Sector, I think it's a visually interesting game as well. And it's got a lot of really good, audio effects, but I would definitely recommend this game. It has a pretty good, mostly positive to very positive on Steam, which is where I may pick it up next. I don't know. I think I might would kind of like this on a Switch or something if they have it for that. which I think they do because I requested codes for this and several other things. And I actually got a code for the PS4. Now, this has already been on PC and is already out for the PC and has been for about a year. Mm. It is being released in the next couple of days on most of the consoles.
It's pretty.
Such as the PS4, Xbox. It's a very pretty game. It's very satisfying. And there's some kind of weird story going on that I'm really digging because you're apparently being chased and monitored. And it's, I'm supposed to be some type of sci-fi dystopian future or alternate reality. Mm-hmm. And you're always, as you go along, if you watch the background, there's all this interesting interactions and animations that are going on that are trying to reveal some things to the story.
Interesting.
So,
all right. It looks kind of spooky. Is it spooky?
Yeah. It actually gets kind of intense because there's sometimes where you're like, it's almost got that, it feels like almost like a horror game because you're like, oh, I got to hurry. And then you realize, oh, I'm just a sparkly light. What are they going to do to me?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Nothing.
That's pretty interesting.
Nothing. It's moving along kind of slow here because I was still trying to figure it out. So yeah, if you're watching the video, there's not a lot to watch. You probably have to scroll on like near the middle ways or towards the end because there is one thing that's kind of frustrating. Learning how to navigate through those wires can be kind of frustrating because they're kind of on rails. So sometimes you'll get in a corner where you're trying to turn and you can't quite turn, and that gets a little frustrating, but nothing game breaking.
Well, does your dude ever just shit himself out and he's like a full grown person at the end, or is he always a little spark?
I don't know. Like I said, I'm only a few hours in. I'm assuming it's gonna go probably at least 10 hours, maybe 6-10 hours or so. And so there's a lot of dialogue going on. You can't hear right now, but there's a lot of atmospheric things going on that really make the game kind of pop and maybe kind of visually boring to watch with no audio. Where's it going? I was telling you something. Do I ever get it? Yeah, you do. Sometimes you start operating like steampunk-like robotics.
Oh, you know what I mean? So you take over the machines. That's cool.
Yeah, you like embody machines. Yeah.
That seems really cool. Why have I not heard of this at all?
Seventh Sector. Seems like I said, it came out on the PC last year, March 5th, 2019. It's about to hit the consoles.
Well, good. Seems like a neat thing. People should play this. All right. Available now, wherever you get your games. You were going to mention, how do you say that? Baobab's Mausoleum?
Baobab's Mausoleum.
Mausoleum. Got it. Okay.
Right. Baobab's Mausoleum. And if you can get some visual pull up of that, if you just do a Google search and get a little visual, I should have probably put something in there. It is just a mention. And the reason why it's just a mention is I picked it up on the Switch. I picked up episode 1. This is sold in episodes. There's 3 episodes that I can pick up on the Switch. I picked up the first one. It was about $5 or so. And it is a lot. I loved it. It is weird and kooky, and I don't know how to explain the graphics other than maybe 90s type of cartoon almost animation. It's
kind of
really
terrible, like in a good way, like just gross. Yeah, and weird.
It's gross and weird and kind of hairy and everything. It is, yeah. I don't know exactly how to describe it, but there's a lot of puzzle solving in this game. But they do it, and this is the main complaint about this game, is that people say, oh, well, it didn't know what it wanted to be, because there are times when you're playing like a first person, and then there's other times where you're playing top down, and it switches between all these different game types. And I thought with the narrative, I thought it was actually kind of neat and kind of fun, but apparently it was this Achilles heel. But there was one frustrating thing. There was one puzzle you couldn't solve unless you went to their website. And this was a game breaker for me. Mm. I had to go to their website, but their website, because I guess it was released back in 2017, the first episode, their game site is no longer available. The place where you were supposed to get the clue is no longer available. I had to go to Steam and look through the message boards there to find the solution. And the solution was not easy. So I did not care for that. And I was like, okay, so I won't be buying the second and third, because obviously this is something that has either ceased development or is running into some kind of trouble. So
yeah, you never know.
But the first episode was a lot of fun. It was like $5 or $6. That's totally worth that.
Yeah, it's worth messing around with. So I picked up just as a little side mention also. I'm not done with it. I just got started, so not near enough time in it. But it's called Awesome P2. And by P,
awesome P.
Yeah, awesome P, like P-E-A, like the vegetable.
Oh, like the P in the princess bed, not the P in Scott's bed.
Well, unless the princess has a urinary problem, which is entirely possible.
Right. Right.
But it's
a lot of people misunderstand that story.
It's this little side platformer that's super hard.
Oh, it's cute.
It is cute. It's based on kind of a Game Boy aesthetic. Like it's green. Yeah. It's all green, you know, like the graphics are not color. It's like a monochromatic green. There's two modes. You can have it look like it does right now to people on video, or you can turn on basically fake CTR or CRT rather.
Screen. CRT, yeah.
And I prefer it without it because it's super obnoxiously.
Yeah, I've never liked. Oh, that was cool.
Yeah, did you see
that? Fall through in the pipes.
Pretty neat. You have a double jump, but really your abilities are jump and double jump, and then you try to escape these worlds and
jump and
go to the next one, and they get really super Meat Boy hard, like not easy. And they have that immediate restart thing when you die. It's like you're right back to try again. So it's very Meat Boy. Yeah. Which I'm a fan of. I like that Meat Boy stuff. Right. Definitely one of those games is going to make me scream at my monitor. So I may stream some of
your this. Your CRT monitor.
Yeah, my scream CRT monitor.
Right. Now, is this procedurally generated levels or is this... This looks like static levels.
These are static levels. I'm pretty sure it's all designed by... It's all design stuff.
Right.
Now, where it's pooping him in this particular... He's on a really hard level that we're watching right here. The game starts out much... less crazy than this.
Right.
But if you can figure out how to get out of the levels, you get a bunch of points and you move on to the next one and it's really hard and you keep doing that. Again, I am not far enough to give any kind of conclusion as to how this all went. But I can tell you that it is just the right kind of nostalgic. It feels real good and plays good and all that. I like it.
I think the gravity is always the thing that gives me trouble in these kind of games.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, the fall gravity seems weird.
It is weird. It's not realistic at all. But once you get the handle on how it works, you just have more control. You have like air control and, you know, you're not limited to, you know, if you jump, it isn't like, well, I guess I just fall where I have to. You can actually change the outcome depending on where you are, which, you know, Mario can do that to an extent, but this gives you more control even than that.
That was another thing that kind of surprised me about Children of Morta. That's right. I'm bringing it back to Children of Morta.
Yeah. Bring it
back. Every time, I use the analog stick to navigate around in Children of Morta, but there's no analog behavior to it. It's like when you move in one direction, you go that speed. And so what happens is you aggro a bunch of bad guys because you're like, oh, I just want to peek down this little corner over here of the dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do, you suddenly like right in the middle of a horde and you're like, oh, well, it's like I'm fighting now.
I would recommend, actually, the D-pad's pretty good on a PlayStation 4 controller on your PC for that game. It's not a bad way to play.
Yeah, I agree. I switched to the D-pad because it made more logical sense to my brain because I'm so used to, with the analog stick, I'm so used to, like, you know, micro movements, whereas the D-pads, it's like, you know what's going. It's like, oh, there goes the D-pad.
Yeah, but I think I'm going
to
play.
Oh, by the way.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Can I say something to the Switch while I'm complaining about video games?
Do it.
I'm just kidding. I'm not complaining at all. Hey, Switch, or hey, game developer. If you're going to put a little icon on the screen that says push this button, the plus button and the D-pad look exactly the same.
Well, if you're playing a light, it doesn't, right?
It looks exactly the same. Well, so, I mean, on screen,
you mean the interface.
Yeah, they'll give me like a legend. You know, there's a legend on the screen that says, okay, you push this button, it does this. You push this button, it does that. Yeah. And I looked at it and I kept pressing one, kept pressing the D button, D-pad button. I kept going, go, what are you doing?
Those guys put out this stuff before the lights were even an option and they didn't put like a dynamic way for it to switch. So yeah, you're right.
Oh, yeah,
there's some games you're just like, oh, look, they're all just dots. That's so good.
Yeah, you're right. I was talking about the Switch Lite. You're right. It does have a D-pad. I just looked at the regular Switch and didn't even think. Yeah, it doesn't have a D-pad. It's got buttons.
Yeah, that's because when you take the Joy-Cons off and somebody plays with just a Joy-Con, now they've got buttons and not a D-pad.
That makes sense. It makes sense. I never thought about it.
Yeah, that's why they do it.
Now I'm thinking about it. Yeah. Now I'm thinking. Can't stop thinking about it.
Don't ever stop thinking about it. Brian, now this.
Don't stop.
All right, there's that. Also, Brian's great new clip.
Sometimes I almost do Elmo.
All right, it's pretty good. Anyway, time for us to do a little bit of Guess My Game. This is where we guess each other's game. It's usually an old game. Today, I think we are that. I can tell by the waveforms on these things that both these games are old. Right. But we play them for each other. We try to guess what each other's game is. I'll start. Brian, try to guess my game. You ready? Here we go.
Do it.
The hint is arcade. Arcade.
Yeah, absolutely. I know this. I know this.
Chat room's not right. They're getting it wrong. Nope, still
okay,
wrong.
Okay, so you can... It's weird because it sounds like there's like these little bugs and like an acceleration.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
Any ideas?
Wow. I mean, it almost sounds like a racer, but is it any type of racing involved?
Incorrect.
Okay, okay.
Any other guesses?
Is it very colorful?
Yeah, actually it is.
Okay, it's very colorful. It's got a lot of blocks then, right? It's not like...
I'll give you another hint then, because now you're bringing up blocks. There are no blocks. It is a vector game.
Oh, it's a vector. Interesting.
A vector.
Is it Zaxxon?
Game. It is definitely not. Zaxxon was not vector. Zaxxon was.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean,
that was all.
You're right.
And stuff.
No. You're right. You're right.
So this is. So think like Tempest / Asteroids. You know, something that with that kind of vector tech. Not like.
And you say it's not Tempest?
It's not Tempest.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I just eliminated two vector games that you don't have to think about. Tempest and Asteroids.
Right, right.
It's not that.
Chatroom
says Spy
That's
Hunter.
A really tough one. Who makes it? Is it Atari, Midway? Who is it?
I'm going to tell you now who makes it, and that'll help you. This was made by Cinematronics.
Cinematronics.
And it was, I'm trying to see if it ended up anywhere else. Nope. Oh, yeah, it did. Okay, so it was released in 1980 in the arcade. Later, in 1983, 3 years later, on the Vectrex home system, which did all vector games, which makes sense. Definitely not Battlezone.
Oh,
someone in the chat room knows. Let's see if you can get it.
Oh, I don't know.
You give up?
I don't know.
You give up?
I give up. I'm going to give up on this one. I'm not real sure. The only vector game I played a lot of was that Star Wars game.
Well, yeah, that was a good vector game. I'm going to give big props to DirtNap71 in the chat who got it correct.
What was it?
Star Castle. Yeah.
Star Castle.
It really didn't have anything to do with castle, but whatever.
I mean, right, right.
This is one of my favorite arcade
games. I don't know. Maybe later
games.
In the game it was something with the castle.
I loved this
game. I
never
game. Got that far.
I thought it was super cool at the time. I still think it's really cool. Just a rad game. You had to shoot down these barriers around this, I guess it's a castle in the middle. I don't know what that thing's supposed to
right,
be.
Right, right.
You are a ship on the outside shooting at it. You can fly in and out of the screen, left, right, top, and down, kind of asteroid style. So if you leave the bottom, mm-hmm. you'll come out the top. You fire into this thing. Meanwhile, little tiny ships, or maybe they're smart bombs, whatever they are, getting pooped out of the circle. Those are coming at you, so you need to either kill those or avoid those while trying to take down all of these barriers. The barriers are rotating opposite ways of each other, so... It just takes
right.
a while to get into the core there. It's a little like Tron, you know, how Tron, the big MCU unit.
I actually was thinking it almost sounded like a Tron game at first, but I was like, no, I don't remember anything that way.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to think, because, you know, Tron was like a bunch of mini games. I was like, maybe it was one of the mini games, but I guess it's
yeah.
Star Castle.
It's a very good game, and, you know, for what it was and what it is, I think it holds up. I actually think this is still fun, super fun to play, despite, you know, the simplicity of it. But it gets harder every level, and... You know, throws more and more at you, and it's just one of those great
Plus
old
goes,
vector games. Right? Listen to this part.
Here. Right.
I love this last part.
Right. You're going down.
Listen to this part. Right here. You hear that?
I love that. That's such a great sound.
Anyway, very good game. Here's yours. Let's see if I can guess. Oh, I should say, what else was I going to tell you guys? It was an upright cabinet. It was, its genre was multi-directional shooter, and because it was vector, it could be any resolution you wanted, so it didn't matter what screen it was on. It was developed by a guy named Tim Kelly, programmed by Scott Bowden. Tim Kelly, famous for a bunch of games, including Starhawk, Sundance, Warrior, Ripoff, Armor Attack, War of the Worlds, and Reactor, along with Star Castle. He also had a game called Screw Loose that never made it to market. Is Starhawk? Hold
Screw
on.
Loose.
Starhawk is what game? That is a 70. That was 79. All right. I don't know if that guy's still alive or not, but he might be. Anyway, there's your game. Brian, here's yours. I'm going to play it. Here we go.
Now, you're going to get this right away,
or
you're going to struggle.
Okay, let me see.
You're either going to get this right away, or you're going to, like, struggle.
Okay. This is a Zelda game.
Right.
This is the Link to the Past?
Link to the Past, you got it. Like, oh, I said, I took a chance, because I'm like, he's either going to get it right away or he's going to be really pissed. And I was hoping for the, you know, like a brain fart.
Well, I just played this recently on my Switch.
Did you?
Yeah, because it comes with that Switch Online stuff. So you get the old
Yeah, which
SNES
I've
games.
Been enjoying. I've been playing it with my little handy dandy.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah. Like that wireless like that? Like
yeah.
that Nyko?
I like that.
Ooh. Wireless there goes to my.
How much was that?
Goes to my SNES Mini. I think it was. Between 15 or 20 bucks.
Hold on. That thing, what is it? Bluetooth to the SNES Mini? Is that
no. It? It's got its own little dongle. You stick
Shut
it right there
up.
In the little controller port.
I'm going to do that because I got this right here with me now. And I like
yeah.
I like these like original legit cabled controllers, but I want yeah. that. That seems awesome.
And it feels good too. It's a good one.
How
they
much?
Did good on this one.
How much was it?
Like I said, I think it was either 15 or 20. It wasn't too terribly bad.
I need to get one. I'm going to get one. Send me a link.
You got to get one.
Send me a link.
Because I love playing the on my Switch, of course. I got the live, the whatever Nintendo's little subscription thing is that
yeah, yeah.
cost. But anyway, I got that, but I like doing that because the NES Mini has a few games that's not on there, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's a bunch on the Switch that aren't on the Mini, so it's a good
right,
combo
right.
to have, yeah.
It's good. Yeah, it's a good combo.
I like it. That's only what $3 a month for that stupid service. It's cheap.
Yeah, it's pretty cheap, but you don't get a lot. But it's still, I think it's the right price for what you get.
You have all of those, plus they're adding new ones all the time. Plus they have the whole NES library, and they're adding new ones of those all the time. And I get to play Tetris 99 on that service, which is one of the greatest things in the history of the world. So there's
right.
That.
Like I said, it's about the right price. I mean, because I think it's the right price.
There you go.
It's good.
Luke Sidewalker in the chat says, any thoughts on Overwatch in general? Well, that's a weird thing to ask 5 years after it was released. But yeah, it's a good game. It's a great shooter.
No, Overwatch is always having some kind of kerfuffle. There's always something about, somebody's always mad about Overwatch.
Yeah.
I like popping in every once in a while and playing. But a lot of people will go, oh, they ruined the game now. Now it's ruined.
Yeah.
It's ruined.
It's a little like saying to somebody, hey, what do you think of Star Wars? It's like, well, really?
Right. Hey, we know, it's like Luke Sidewalker says in the chat room. He said, hey, it's new to me, though.
That's a good point.
It's yeah, just him. Like that. Just like that, the Children of Mordos, new to me.
New to you. Yeah. Old to me, new to you. It's fine with me. We're all good here. Check this out. All right. Time for us to read an email submitted by a listener. These are great. We love them. Please keep them coming. All you got to do is use the following email address, boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com, boopshow@gmail.com. This is from Steve, who says,
Steve.
Hey, guys. Oh, you know how Ibbot and I were talking about this? We found out that the Emperor Palpatine's first name is Sheev or Shreve
oh, yeah.
or something.
Shreve.
I think it should just be Steve. Steve Palpatine.
Steve Palpatine.
Isn't that great? You will listen to
Steve
me.
Steve Palpatine.
One day the whole empire will have on their lips Steve Palpatine.
Say it. Say it. Say anyway, my name.
He says this. I was thinking about something and I forgot might be worth discussing on the show. What are the best PC games that you picked up for dirt cheap? For example, under $10. As someone who tends not to have a lot of extra cash to burn on video games, I'm always on the lookout to see if there's anything interesting during things like Steam sales and the Humble Bundle deals. I may not get to view the new hotness this way, but I'm often able to find something that's at least fun to play. Doing this also helps me find some hidden gems that I ended up really having fun with and probably wouldn't have given a second glance at if it wasn't something I had found a deal on. For example, games like the Trine series, Dust of the Elysium Tale, Buddy, and Anodyne, just to name a few, turned out to be great, but never heard of them before. Right now, I'm in the middle of a puzzle platformer called The Way. And while not perfect, it's silly fun and sure as heck worth $1.50. I paid for it during the Steam sale. Thanks, longtime TMS and FilmSack listener, but just jumped on the Boop train a month ago, so I'm really digging it so far. So Steve. Oh, thanks, Steve. Thank you, Steve Palpatine. Don't hurt us with your electric hands. All right. There are too many for me to even say, but I can tell you that I ended up getting one of my favorite games of recent indie memory on the cheap. It was $5 at one point, and I grabbed it thinking this looks dumb, and I loved it, and I still play it, and that's Broforce. I freaking love Broforce.
Oh, Broforce is so good.
Broforce is one of my favorite indie titles ever made. It is stupid and over the top and ridiculous, but the actual gameplay is some of my favorite, like, little 2D side-scrolly stuff. I freaking love it. And that's an example of, like, I'm not sure how to run into that. I may have anyway, because someone would have said something, but that was definitely one where I was like, I can find out for $5. The reviews on here are good. Let's see what this is about. And that is a hell of a thing. Other good deals under 10. So many. I can't name them all. Oh,
yeah.
You know what?
Absolutely. You mentioned the Humble Bundle.
Yeah.
You got to have that if you want cheap games, because $12 a month, they give you the option to pick 10. Now they have like a little bit different deal now. It's like they show you 12 and you can pick 10 from your choice bundle or whatever, and you can keep what you want and sell what you want. But there's always at least one game in there that's worth the whole $12, and everything else is just cheddar.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so don't forget also there's other bundle places too, like Bundle Stars, which I usually don't pick up. And there's also Fanatical. Right now, Fanatical has Everspace for $3.99. That is a great game at $3.99.
Mm-hmm. I would also recommend Fury Unleashed. That's also under $10 right now. It's a great
that's a good one too.
Oh, it's real good. Like
also,
funny enough, both those games are roguelikes that we just mentioned. Very different.
Yeah, ones, and if you're looking for a little bit beefier game, maybe you've missed a few because you're a bargain shopper, and so you kind of have to wait for some of these bigger games to hit the bargain bins. They also have the Shadow of Mordor is there's like a bundle on Fanatical as well for $4.99 right
what?
Now.
That's ridiculous. Yeah,
that's a fun game. It comes with some DLC as well. Comes with a pretty good bit of DLC
that's
actually.
Crazy cheap.
And that's a great game.
It's
for
It's a
that,
very
that
good
price.
Game. That second game is really awesome. And by the way, currently free on not free, but part of Game Pass as well. You can get that over there.
Right, right. And we didn't mention this, but. It may not be on Steam, but you are a PC gamer. The Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, or just the PC version, has tons of games for like what were they doing, like $5.99 at one point in time?
I think it's still $5 for the PC one.
Yeah, so I mean, it's hard to beat. There's a gluttony of games for us cheap ass gamers, right?
And I think you can still get the first 2 months for 88 cents or something dumb like that.
Right,
like it's really a good
crazy.
Deal. Yeah. But it's always good to hear about bargain shoppers and games. We're big fans of that. So if you've got recommendations for that sort of thing, people listening at home, please send them in and tell us how. Tell us what.
That's what tell us what.
Say. Tell us how. Tell us what. What? All right. Before we get out of here, I have an announcement to make. It's kind of a weird place to do it, but I'm doing it anyway. Hey, do you guys like comics? Do you like free comics? Do you like to check the internet and go, there's a funny comic that I just read, a cool comic strip from an artist I like? Well, I launched my first new comic in years. It's actually based on an idea I had back in like 2005 or 6, and I never went anywhere with it, but I decided to dust it off and go for it. It's called Fred and Can, and it's literally about a guy named Fred and his semi-sentient can of expired cream corn.
Cream corn.
You're going to get some great funny stuff, poignant stuff, maybe an occasional sad thing, but... It's all about Fred and his can.
Oh, no, he's not going to open the can of cream corn. That would be sad.
No, he'll never do that. And we'll never.
Oh, he'll never do that. Okay.
And you'll never
what
truly.
If he's got it? What if he gets a dent? There's so much drama.
Maybe he already has a dent. I don't know. Let's figure it out.
Right.
But if you want to find out for yourselves, it's just free to look at. Go check it out. Free FredCanComic.com. There's an RSS feed for people who'd rather get it that way. It'll come out every Monday. If my Patreon gets to some levels that I want it to at patreon.com/frogpants, then we'll do two a week. But right now, it'll be every Monday. Right now, there are two out, though, so they're two out. Get a bonus one to start things off. It just launched today. Head on over again to fredcancomic.com, or you can go to frogpants.com. It'll be right there.
I went and looked. I laughed. I loved. I cried.
Yeah. Well, there's more to
and
it.
And then I went and ate some corn.
Oh, geez. That's creamed or regular corn?
Yes. There's only one kind of corn. Cream. Cream corn.
That's a good point.
I mean, you can't eat other kind.
No, don't eat that.
It won't digest.
No, you're right. You're not wrong.
Damn you, Scott Johnson, making me want to make a webcomic again.
Yeah, you should do it. Get in there. See, Brian and I have similar weird ideas for comics. What was the one in the guy in the bush thing? What was that?
Oh, yeah. A guy in a bush. There was a guy who wakes up. He is the eternal punchline. It was all based on the idea of, did you ever see It's a Wonderful Life?
Yeah.
So I noticed for a while there, everybody thought it was funny when people had to hide in bushes because they were naked. And I thought, hey, what if a guy had been abducted by aliens, been somehow lost his memory, Jason Bourne right into the bush, and couldn't leave because of his modesty.
Yeah.
So he has to exist in the bush.
Yep.
And then unfurl that story as he meets people who come to get the bus.
Yep.
Who are trying to take public transit.
Yep. He's so, just a guy in a bush. It was amazing. And you should do it again. You should bring it back.
So I totally should.
Finally, Fred and Can and Guy in a Bush can see the light of day. but anyway, that's fredcancomic.com. Frogpants.com will take you there as well. Currently, there's a splash page when you go there. So anyway, your comments are welcome, and watch for it every Monday. That's happening now.
Do they still call them splash pages?
I don't know. I don't know what you call that. I call it what would you call it? Like a promo page?
A cover page? I don't know. We got these infinite scroll websites now that are just, it's got cover style and everything else. Know.
I mean, that's the other thing is this thing is certainly not going to exclusively be there. I'll have it on Twitter. I'll have it on Instagram. And in fact, in Instagram, it goes panel by panel. It's got like its own little format. So that's going on. And then what else? That's it. That's all.
That's it.
Hey,
what else do you need?
This is what they need. They need to go to our website, frogpants.com/BOOP. If you want to get some additional stuff there, that's all there. 801-471-0462. Get your voicemail. Boopshow@gmail.com is our email. And you can find us on Twitter @BoopShow. Brian's at @TheBrianDunaway. I'm at Scott Johnson. And the show is @BoopShow. That's going to do it for us. Brian, do you have
if we're all pimping our stuff, I'm doing Throwback Thursdays with, did you know that I've never really played any Zelda games?
What is wrong with you, you insane human?
I've dipped my toe in a couple of times and said, what is this? And I'm like, I'll walk around for a few minutes and go, not for me. Well, as I've grown older, I have found that I am now interested in Legend of Zelda. That's right. Look at my shirt. And so I'm going through my SNES here, my SNES Mini, and I'm playing Link to the Past to completion.
Wow.
So I'm doing that on Thursday nights.
That's awesome.
On Twitch. Yeah, twitch.tv/BrianDunaway. Do a follow and you'll know when I'm playing.
Hey, can you tell me the brand of that controller again?
Yes, this is a NYKO, a Nyko. This model number is...
It's not 8-bit. It's not that 8-bit do thing. Those are popular.
It's called a Super Mini Boss.
Okay. Let's see.
NYKO.
I kind of want one.
Super Mini Boss.
Is it? And the cheapest thing I'm finding on any of these sorts of things are about $25. Does that sound right?
Right. That's probably about right. I bought this thing a while back.
Yeah.
So I've had it for a while. I think I got it on. I got some kind of deal on it, but I can't remember what it was. It was on a Slick Deals or something. But that's about the right price.
All right. I'm interested. I don't know why. Just damn. You know how I get. Yeah, same as you. You just want the cool thing. I get it.
You know what I like hearing back? Kurt the cast from the chat room.
Kurt the cast says,
Frog Pants, thanks for recommending Littlewood. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, Littlewood is. Oh, that's the other thing I've been playing all week. I get a lot of Littlewood in. Oh, this is the other thing about Littlewood. They put a big update out, and it's got a ton of new content, and there's more coming, so watch for more Littlewood coverage here on the Boop Show. It's very good.
Do it.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next time with another show. Until then, be good.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam.
I love steam.
Sometimes I do, almost do, Elmo.